Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
Sports Radio 610.
You should have had your mic on.
John Lopez. I can't, you know,
he was hitting that high note.
I can't sing over the intro.
Figgy,
I can't do
he was
that.
Hitting that high note.
Lopez, Figgy, and myself, Reggie, was at Atula hanging out with you. Obviously, a salute to recently departed Frankie Beverly, 77 years old. Big, makes me happy. It's just good vibes. Good vibes. Vibes, an interesting word to use here, actually, with our upcoming segment.
I saw what you did there.
Not intentional. Very unintentional. What is intentional, though, here in the 12 o'clock hour, at some point, you have to, I'm not going to tell you when. You just got to be listening. But we will be giving away a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. So you want to be listening and you want to call in when I tell you. Not a second earlier, but when I tell you. And I'll give you the phone line this time. I won't mess up. I'll make sure to let you know what the number is to call and all that. I'll do my job.
The question of the day is when.
That is true. The question of the day is when will I do that? I won't tell you just yet. All right. So vibes was the word that I used unintentionally, and it is worth examining what are the vibes here and why does it feel like the national media is getting a feeling of the vibes that does not seem to be the same as what we're getting on the ground. And who I'm talking about is Stephon Diggs, right? Why are folks committed to Stephon Diggs being the bad guy? 713-572-4610. And there was a reason why this came up.
Yeah, man.
You, right?
It pains me. It hurts me more than it hurts you, Nick Wright, because because that's my guy. Like, absolutely. That's my guy.
Former co-host,
he sat right where you are. Just great friend, great dude, all that stuff. But before we hear from Nick and kind of the counterpoint from Greg Jennings, like a lot of times we talk about, sometimes too much, you know, media bias, all right? And I'm not even talking about politically. You know, I have nothing to do with that. They're just like they're biased, or they hate the Astros, or they hate this, or they hate Houston, or all that. A lot of times it's phony. But there are instances where it is very real. And I feel like this is going to be an ongoing story with Stephon Diggs, an ongoing story that we're going to have to mostly, and I think probably all season, will dispel, like this bias about Stephon Diggs is a live wire. Stephon Diggs can't be happy. Stephon Diggs is going to be, you know, there was another one on Sunday where he was talking, you know, animatedly.
Yeah.
On the sideline.
I was saying that too. Are they doing this on purpose?
Yes.
I feel like they trolling.
Yeah. No.
It might be.
No. I think, and look, we're media guys, and I'm telling you right now, I think it's media bias against Stephon Diggs. And a lot of times people want to make themselves right. You know, they pull for a certain something. I'm not saying I'm excluded from this. Like, because you have this hot take or this opinion or whatever on a particular issue, you're kind of pulling for that issue to be right, you know? Whether it's a prediction.
They're waiting on the car accident.
They're waiting on the car accident. Good way to put it, Figgy. Like, people have been predisposed to say, like, Stephon Diggs is this. Even though he's not that here. I see you putting a dollar into the bucket.
I'm just getting ready. I can't wait
to see what's coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, like, they are so hell bent on making like Stephon Diggs this live wire. He's going to be a problem. He can't be happy, etc. Character when he's not. He just flat out. And we could be wrong in week 10 or whatever, but he's not. He's not that. And to hear, you know, Nick say this, it pained me.
So, Nick, are you still worried about Stephon fitting in?
Well, yeah, listen, I think Stephon's a combustible player, and I think he is certainly not going to be the number one option on his team for the first time since his rookie year, and we'll see how he deals with it. And even when he says money downs, one of the most underrated important plays of the entire weekend, C.J. Stroud's first, like, oh, if he wins MVP, I'll think back to this moment, the 3rd and 11 to ice the game. They're only up 2. There's 2 minutes left. It's 3rd and 11. Indy has moved the ball at will. Anthony Richardson's just firing balls downfield. And he throws to Nico Collins on the sideline, and he gets it. What I found very interesting was how Bobby Slowick used these guys, because these numbers are jarring, which is how far did the ball travel in the air on average when it was thrown to you?
Right.
For Stephon Diggs, that's not a misplaced decimal, less than 2 yards.
That's good roll.
For Colin, exactly. This isn't a negative. Okay. For Nico, 16 yards in the air, Tank, 16 yards in the air. They are using Diggs, Greg, you speak to it better than me, as a technician, route runner, sure hands, and they're using the other guys as a big play.
All right, so the place where I will say that I agree with Nick, right, is I did find it interesting the way that they were utilizing him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think that the perspective that he starts from is because that man is combustible, because that man wants the ball in his hands, the way that he's being used is not going to be up to his expectations.
Right.
I think that's the assumption part, right? Mm-hmm. Is the assuming that we know the way that his brain works. And I understand that then a person on the other side of that would point to, okay, well, we've seen it happen in Minnesota. We've seen it happen in Buffalo. And I feel like those situations require more context and more diligence in the way that we view them.
Yeah.
Minnesota, I don't know, was exactly that. Buffalo usage mattered, but I think that it was also like an understanding of they're kind of excluding me from the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm becoming a decoy. That's not quite the same as they're using me in a very particular way here.
Right.
And there was it felt very intentional to get him the football in some ways. The reason why I went ahead and started getting this dollar out of my pocket was you mentioned the idea that, hey, man, he seems animated. And I think some of that then speaks to it, right? From the 713, they texted in and said, what I've realized about Diggs is he's an animated talker who doesn't have a media filter. He is who he is. So when he's on the sidelines trying to pass on wisdom or bring up something he's seeing, people immediately take it as him complaining or simply being.
Yes. Well,
that is very much reminiscent of a Dallas Cowboy. Money into Texans helmet. Dez Bryant had this issue as well, where people were like, oh, man, he's over there being a diva. He's demanding Tony Romo throws him the football. Dez Bryant was on the field being almost like preacher man, like, hey, guys, we gotta lock in. We're going to do great. Keep your head up. But because of the way that he talked and the mm-hmm. way that it seemed, and then that additional framing that happened on the outside because of who he was, how he looked, and the way that people perceived him, it then was taken and spun forward as, oh, he's being negative. He's being detrimental to team. He's being cancer. And it wasn't that. And so I see that also with Stephon Diggs. And so I agree that I think that hurts the framework in that we're assuming the way that his brain works with the usage and where those
but
things
are. But that's that inherent bias that a lot of people have about him. And he said combustible, which he could have used a lot of words there, you know, but he said combustible. We haven't seen that. What we've seen, and we all have either that friend or that acquaintance. I can think of one old friend of mine right now that is just like every time he talks, it looks like he's angry, but he's not.
Brother, I'm a Nigerian man.
Yeah.
That's my people to a T.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, why are you yelling at me? I'm not yelling. I'm giving you a compliment. I'm sure you know. I know you know some
guys. Are you talking about Nigerians?
No, well, no, them. No, I'm not.
What? Whoa. Hey, hold on. Wait a minute.
Hey, I ain't going to lie. Nigerians be loud as hell sometimes.
We do. We're loud people.
But I'm not thinking of a Nigerian, but I'm thinking of an old friend of mine that he would come into the room and you're like, what's he upset about? Nothing. It's just how he talks. Like he talks like
aggressive.
Like aggressive is a good way, but just sort of like animated and it looks like he could snap it in. No, that's just the way he is. That's Stephon Diggs. And then let's talk about this 1.6 yards that he averaged, per reception here. Maybe this is because we are close to this team and we've seen it throughout camp in the preseason. That can change Sunday.
Yeah, that is true.
Like they were throwing fade routes, deep middles, you know, all they're not going to set those aside and say, okay, he's a decoy or he's a dump off.
It could be a week by week thing.
Exactly. Exactly.
This week, it could have been Nico Collins. Next week, it'd be Tank Dell.
Now, they have their defined roles. Nico is going to stretch the field.
Yeah.
But exactly. Stephon is going to do that as well.
He's
going to
get his time.
Yeah.
And I think that was where, because we're basing this off of, mm-hmm. I mean, Nick Wright.
First things first,
FS1. And was it Greg Jennings?
I think it was Greg Jennings.
Greg Jennings
kind of rebutted.
There you go.
Do we remember a couple weeks ago when I told you exactly what these three were going to bring to the table?
I thought I said that.
Stephon Diggs was the route runner. He's the precise guy that he's going to get the ball on third downs. He's going to be that possession guy. That's exactly what they're doing. They have the big play guys.
Once again,
like this is why I believe he's going to thrive this year, because when you have a guy under center like C.J. Stroud who has the ability to make any and every throw, we've seen that, and be as big play moment as we've seen in this league as a star goes under center, and you have three guys that can get the ball down the field if you need to, can run any route on the route tree, one guy who can create unbelievable separation in Tank Dell, and you got a guy who can make contested catches, and another guy who's your third kind of option, second kind of option, and Stephon Diggs who can run routes, make contested catches, and just be sure-handed for a quarterback, it's a win-win situation. Why would he be combustible? No, he's not.
It's also the reputation, which we get.
Yeah.
Because, like, if you have a reputation of, and quarterbacks always get
reputation at the position as well. Like, wide receiver is diva.
Exactly.
Right?
But, like, we've seen Tom Brady throw tablets and get in somebody's face and do all this and, like, oh, look at that competitor.
I hate it so much.
Look at that competitor.
I hate
he
it
is.
So much.
Because he has this preconceived reputation of a competitor. Guess what Stephon Diggs is? A competitor. But no, he's combustible. No, he's a diva. No, he's that. And again, not to ignore, didn't leave on the best of terms, at least according to some, not him, Minnesota and Buffalo. Dude, this is not going anywhere. And it's a bias. It's an inherent bias.
Right, and I think the competitor note is a good one, because I think some of this, again, comes back to the idea of, hey, man, he wants the football in his hands, and does he want it too much? And it reeks of, like, sports talk. It's us. Mm-hmm. Like, we are the issue. We are the problem here, right? Because the idea that if he did not want the football enough, then we come on the other end and like, hey, why don't you want to be that guy, right? Yeah. And so we have to find – you have to find the magical middle line here where you want the football a lot, but we also are afraid that, or we don't want to feel like you want the football too much to the point where you're going to derail it. And all parties involved, and then you might say that, hey man, the parties involved are not inclined to go this far, but all parties involved are in a place where they're like, hey, we like it, we think that this works, the ball will get around, this will all work out. Quarterback, wide receivers who in theory, when it comes to like touches and targets, would be in competition with them. Mm-hmm. The play caller in Bobby Slowick, like the head coach, who is very much a vibes guy, right? Yeah. When it comes to D'Amico Ryans, everybody is in on this and feels good about this. And so I don't know why we are so, or when I say we, like people on the outside are so hell bent on saying that this will go wrong, especially because even if you have a more negative perspective, and this is something I brought up, mm-hmm. if you have a negative perspective that yes, he is invested, and you've made it a contract year and he's invested in getting his touches, the touches will be there.
Yeah.
And so I don't know that what the issue is then in making him a villain in that way.
And then the other thing, and I mentioned this yesterday, he had six targets. He didn't catch all six balls, but that was partially because of the defense, maybe the throw, whatever. I don't remember them all specifically. But you got 8, 7, and 6 targets from your top three guys. You're good with that. I mean, maybe on another given day, you're not running the ball 30 times, so it's going to be, you know, 11, 10, and 9. 11, 10, and 9. So, yeah, like he's – oh, and oh, by the way, 2 touchdowns. I mean, he got a touchdown. You know, it's just fascinating, and I wanted to bring it up because we need to kind of brace ourselves. This ain't going nowhere because it's already entrenched in a national narrative. Okay, they're doing great down in Houston, but watch Stephon. Dude, I watched him on the sideline. That wasn't an argument. Yeah. That wasn't complaining. That was Tom Brady-esque, you know, like an intense dude. And it wasn't even as far as Tom Brady.
And my thing is, why would he be complaining?
Yeah.
Like, they wasn't getting blown out.
Yeah.
It'd be one thing if they was getting blown out and he ran the wrong route and CJ threw a pick and all this other stuff. Like, they was in the game, man.
I still think
it was after a touchdown.
Yeah, and to go circle back to a word that I used early on, the vibe seemed to be great. You see him and Tank Dell arm in arm after the game, recording something for the NFL social
like
media.
Like, walking off the field.
They're excited. They're happy. Like, you can see those things, like, you know, those types of things. I understand everybody this time of year has those kind of high vibes, but I think also just the incentive structure is one. that he's going to be bought in.
Yeah, he's good. I mean, he's a captain, man.
Yeah,
he was just bragging about how happy he was to be a captain.
Mm-hmm.
So why would he be complaining week one?
He wasn't. That's my point.
My thing. Like, why? Like, if you're a national media member, I mean, maybe they not really dug in into the Texans to see, like, inside what's going on. But, like, why would somebody be complaining week one like this?
It doesn't make any sense at all. And, by the way, he didn't throw a tablet. You know, he didn't get in anybody's face on the bench, which we've seen. And I'm using Brady as an example. That's just the first one that popped in mind. But we have a lot of players.
Hold that, Brady.
Yeah. We have a lot of.
Aaron Rodgers wasn't even looking at his offensive coordinator.
Oh, could you imagine if Diggs did that? I turned his head away.
Well, this is the thing, right? Brady or Rodgers might not be a good one because people legitimately don't like him, right? Like people aren't giving him very many passes for things like that. To be completely honest,
yeah.
But yes, your point is well taken for sure, man. It's gonna be fun to watch this season because of, like, the capabilities that they have. But yeah, this is just gonna. I guess this is part of it, right? Like, this is part of being a team that has this level of ability, this level of aptitude. And it's gonna be the storylines have to come with it, right? And so we'll see, and very hopefully, and it'll be very exciting to watch as if Stephon Diggs is very much capable of like putting these storylines to shame, and you know doing so in a very fantastic way. It'll be fun to watch. But there you go. That's you're listening to In Loop Sports Radio 610. Not just yet. On when it comes to the $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops.
The question of the day is when.
Yeah, keep it locked. The question of the day is coming, mind you.
Oh, this hour?
It is coming this hour as well.
Oh, I didn't know that.
As will the giveaway. So yeah, we'll do that. But coming up next, the time is now when it comes to the Lunchtime Confessions. We'll do that.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey.
These are my confessions.
Are we allowed two references to the weather in the same show? Other than the hurricane, when it actually hits our area. We talked about the Hurricane Francine. Earlier,
that was just a public service. I thought that was something that we should do.
There you go.
Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. Okay. No. I
want to make sure that the people are, you know, aware.
I'm going to talk about that little nip in the air that we felt the last few mornings. Y'all felt that, right,
buddy? It's been nice.
A little bit here. It's been good.
Kind of caught me off guard a little bit.
Yeah. I saw a woman walking into the station today with a leather jacket and knee high boots.
Let's go.
Come on, man.
Fashion, baby.
Come on, man. I know I've said this in the past, probably during confessions, but it never ceases to amaze me. And I am going to say they here because women.
Oh, boy. ISO!
He's distancing himself as far as he can, literally rolling his chair to the other side of the studio. Women, to me, just seem to be chomping at the bit for the first cold front.
It's that time of the year.
Come on. A leather jacket and knee-high boots. Dude, it was 90 degrees yesterday in the afternoon. I get it's been a little 95 maybe. I get that it's been a little bit cooler in the mornings and I'm all about it, but a leather jacket and boots?
Yeah, man. They was just waiting until it got a little cool so they could really start dressing.
I actually realized that when I moved here and it was a little, it wasn't cold. But it was kind of like that fall. It wasn't even fall weather.
No, it was
this. It was like 80 degrees.
Yeah, it was this.
And people was rocking the Uggs and the North Face. I'm like, damn.
Hey, man,
I'm like, look at this.
If they don't do it then, when are they going to be able to do it? You've been here long enough,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. No, I'm used to it now, but it was at one point, it was like 65. And this girl had a hat and a scarf.
I'm surprised this one didn't.
I'm like, oh, my goodness.
It was like a leather jacket to her thighs, you know. And then the boots. I'm like, you got to be better than that. Just wait a little longer.
I kind of understand because, look, my favorite fashion is like fall and winter fashion.
Yeah.
But you could barely wear it here, man. So whatever chance you could get, man, rock it, man.
Also, you know, hey, man, PSLs are out. So the ladies want to get going on that. They want to put the whole thing together.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I imagine for them, you're drinking a pumpkin spice latte, but you wearing like shorts or like a.
It's happening. I've seen
or
them.
Something. It don't really.
Did she walk in with a latte?
Can't remember. I wouldn't doubt it. And I wouldn't doubt the flavor.
Watch this. These are my
These are my confessions. Don't talk to me about no debate. Don't do that. I don't want to hear it. I really and truly don't. Like, no matter where you are, to be completely, like, this is a confirmation thing.
Yeah.
Like, debates are just debates in our current political system. I'm not going to be that guy quite. Just they're not useful. And I know, like, they're entertainment products. It's spectacle.
Oh, it's 100% entertainment.
It's spectacle, except I don't find it funny anymore. Like, there's a point in time where it was fun, right? I watch the State of the Union and just kind of crack jokes about what's happening, about these ugly ties the dudes be wearing and stuff like that. It's not funny to me anymore. And so, yeah, don't talk to me about it. I'm not saying you can't enjoy it. Please enjoy making fun of whatever thing that you heard that you thought was nonsense going whatever side of the aisle that you happen to be on. Just miss me with it. That's all I ask. Also, shout out to the 619 who said, Reggie strikes me as a scarf guy. Absolutely. 100%.
Are you a scarf guy?
100%.
All
right. Depending on the scarf, right? Like, I think
can see you pulling that off. I'm not going to make any smart comment. I think I could see you pulling that off.
You've seen me put the scarves around, like, kind of like a bandana. But I also periodically put on a scarf around the neck.
Yeah, I think that one would work.
When it's chilly.
Yeah.
I, on the other hand, am not a scarf guy. And by the way, there's one thing on the debates.
Uh-huh.
They're not debates.
No.
Debates have a hard clock. You stop talking. It's an actual debate. If you go off on a tangent to another topic for whatever reason, you're deducted points. Like, they should make like a good high school, like one of the best high school debate teams, teachers actually conduct the debate and say, nope, you're out. You lose 20 points. Watch this. These
are my confessions. So the Houston Texans tweeted out or put out one of those little graphics. Hey, we signed this person to the practice squad.
Mm-hmm.
So I seen this. They said the Texans signed Arlington Hambright to the practice squad yesterday.
I forgot about that cat.
Yeah. And I thought that was a fake person, man. I can't lie. I was kind of like beast mode, Marshawn Lynch. Yeah. Like, man, that ain't a real person, man. Arlington Hambright.
Hambright.
That sound like a created player on Madden, man. That sound like somebody you just drafted in the seventh round.
It sounds like a butler. Arlington?
Arlington?
Arlington Hambright.
Arlington?
That's wild.
Where is my coffee?
Hello.
We should probably be careful because I imagine that he can move all of us if necessary.
Oh, yeah. I think he's an offensive lineman, right?
Yeah. He's
a lineman.
He's moving all of us off the block.
He'll be carrying a tray when he does it.
A monocle.
Yeah. Hey, I say that to say it's a cool sounding name.
It is.
It's a cool sounding name, but I thought it was a fake person, man. I thought it wasn't real.
For a butler, it is. So do you guys I know you have. Have you guys had any shows that 20 years later you started watching them? Because
yes,
I am so in on Monk right now.
Oh, really? Okay.
Like, so in on.
I couldn't stand that show,
dude,
man.
It's awesome. Like, it's.
Wait, why do you hate the show?
I just didn't care for the character, man.
I ignored it for 20 years. It came across Netflix as you might like. You know how they do that?
Yeah.
And I was like, I heard it won a ton of Emmys.
Yeah.
Like, I want to say like 11 or 12 over the course of its time. And I just, man, it wasn't for me. Wasn't for me. Now, like, we have a downtime or there's no game on or whatever, I'm like, Monk, let's put Monk on.
That's incredible. Because you asked this question and I have a perfect answer. And Sean Pendergast is very happy about this, but it's The Sopranos. I just started watching
you
that.
You ignored it when it was out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I never watched The Sopranos until I think earlier this year is when I started it. I'm four seasons in now. Right? Yeah. Actually, I just finished the fourth season. And so, yeah, I'm very behind on that. And now we're catching up.
You got one figure?
Yeah, I was like that with The Wire. I watched The Wire four or five seasons?
Mm-hmm. Five seasons, yes.
Five seasons for the first time a couple years ago.
Yeah, it's funny how that works. I'd like, well, I've been missing this whole time.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know. I don't know how much. Sometimes you just don't get to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think sometimes when you see it often and maybe people talk about it, it make you not want to watch it.
Especially if you missed the first few seasons or the first season or something. You're like, I'm too far
behind. How many seasons is it?
I want to say it's like six.
Monk?
Yeah. Five or six.
That's not too bad, but like if you like on Walking Dead type seasons, it's like it's no way in hell I'm starting from season one and it's 14 seasons.
Yeah.
And three different spinoffs. Damn,
it had 125 episodes. Oh, my time is taken up for a while.
Yeah, you've got things that you need to. But those are the television 30 minutes, so technically 22 minutes.
Yeah, it'll be pretty quick.
Yeah, those are very digestible. Watch this. Clearly a lot of people excited for Liberty Whiteout game, Sunday Night Football versus the Bears. You can hear that on Sports Radio 610. I'm excited, but not excited. And I'll tell you why.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited to get out, you know, tailgate, see what's happening there. I don't know how excited I am to watch the game from the press box.
I watched the first quarter. I hang out with the guys before the game in our designated area, watch the first quarter, and then I go into the stands. I love the stands. And part of it is I've lived in press boxes for the first half of my career regularly. No cheering. You got to write. You got to be on deadline. It's all intense. Go down, get all the interviews. I don't like that as much.
Yeah.
I like to sit up there, hang out with the dudes, and then go down and just be a fan.
Like, as someone who has not watched a game in a press box before, a football game, or like, not a football game, an NFL football game from mm-hmm. the press box, and especially one that I'm going to have to talk about in some ways, I'm very used to the way that I watch games, which, as you know, is pretty particular, having a couple of televisions devoted to it so I can watch things and watch them over and all those types of things and take notes. I'm very concerned for my experience.
Bring your tablet
on Sunday. I'll bring, buddy, I'll have all of the screens, and then I'll be over there looking like a psycho.
Yeah.
And that's another reason why I'm kind of concerned about how this goes Sunday night. So we'll see if I actually am able to do this.
So you're not a
right.
press box guy?
Nah,
yeah.
I'm not, man. I feel like I'm in a library.
Yeah.
Like, everybody quiet. It felt a little nerdy to me. No disrespect to anybody, because I know people up there getting their work done. They
I mean, we count
work.
On them.
Yeah.
We count absolutely. On those guys.
100%. But
and
me,
it should be an environment where they can work.
Yeah,
it.
Yeah, exactly.
And at the end of the day, I'm a fan.
Yeah.
I like to cheer. You know, I don't mind rocking the Texans shirt or whatever. So I like to be with the people, man, so we can hear how loud it is and just get the memories, man. Yeah. I just don't feel that up in the press box.
Y'all, don't make fun of me when I pull out my binoculars, okay?
Oh, yeah. We will.
It's a couple people that
oh,
do
yeah.
that, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Watch this. These are my confessions. I'm still on the home search, kind of.
Yeah,
we kind of closing in. We got the final four. We submit the offer tonight.
All right.
So that's pretty cool. But I got to confess, man, the last couple places we've been looking at was rough. And I mean, what I mean by rough is the people still living there.
Oh.
So we walking in the house where you got shoes right here. You see the family pictures over there.
Was that at least clean?
It was okay. But
okay.
It was like, you know, it's people living there.
Right.
So it's, you got some clutter.
Yeah.
And I mean, you might have clothes on the floor or in the back. You see the basket of clothes and, you know, it felt so creepy going around in people's houses, man. And they wasn't there. So we all like, hurry up. Let's go. And oh, yeah. You like this? Okay, let's go.
And they got cameras.
Yeah. Some people had cameras, you know, at the front door or some in the house. Where we just like, hey, don't say anything till we get to the car. And a couple of days ago, the house we went into, we tried to check out the master bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
Big ass pit bull in a cage in there.
Master, huh?
I guess they kept them locked
up. All the primaries, they'll call them from now on.
Yeah. That's a whole nother discussion.
Yeah.
But it was a big ass pit bull in the cage.
Oh, man.
At least he was in the cage.
We was just like, oh, please. I thought he was going to bark. He ain't say nothing. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
Yesterday,
he's trying to get the house sold too. He's like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah. Yesterday, we didn't even get in the house. We opened the gate. It was a cat sitting right in the middle of the walkway. And
why that
walk around the cat?
A cat.
We did, but when we tried to go in the house, he tried to go in too.
Yeah, he's like, yeah,
so
this is my house.
We could, yeah, and like I said, it's cameras and all that stuff. So I didn't want to kick the cat or nothing like that. And the cat had a collar around the neck.
Yeah, the
so
cat's like,
clearly
this is my house.
It was his house.
He was waiting for. He's been waiting for somebody to let him in. He's
man,
like, thank you.
We had to throw finally. This cat a cracker so it could go to the other side, so we could get in the house.
Man,
it was rough, man.
I hope you get the house you're putting
yeah,
it on.
So we submitted an offer to one house, and hopefully it go right, man.
Yeah.
Hopefully this search is over, man. Yeah. I don't see how people do this.
No.
And once we move in this house, I'm never moving again.
this is your house
it's
forever.
It's over, man. That's it.
All right, cool. Appreciate you doing that. And yes, I appreciate Jonathan on the YouTube saying, just go enjoy the game, then rewatch everything that you missed the following day. All right, we'll see. We'll see if that works. But
it's a lot of work.
I mean, I feel like I should probably do that work. It is my job.
But see, it's a night game too, man. Like,
yeah, there's not a lot of time.
By the time you get home, man, you don't want to watch no game.
Right here, man. It's in the palm of your hand. Just write down every
thought. You can work on your phone? That's
every
crazy.
Every game.
I can't do that. I got to work on a laptop or something. I don't know. We'll talk about that another time. All right, man. Lunchtime Confessions. In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Not quite yet. Not quite yet. We'll give away that $50 gift card, I guess, next then. Coming up next, in fact, we had to move question of the day because we had some friends come in and talk to us. So coming up next, inspired by a real notable thing in Houston mm-hmm. going away. What landmark epitomizes or really defines Houston for you? 713-572-4610. We'll talk about that next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Lopez, Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula, hanging out with you. Shout out to all the folks that are appreciating the Frankie Beverly. After we learned that he passed earlier today, at the age of 77. And so, yeah, appreciating the work of a master in some ways. The people know you well, OG.
Yeah, they do.
As we're gearing up for our question of the day, 713-572-4610. What landmark, you know, kind of really defines Houston for you? And they immediately got out here and like, oh, here comes the Astrodome.
No, I promise that's not the first one that came to mind.
Yeah, I'll tell you that we're guarding against it. I'm actively playing.
Yeah, you got the 30-second time limit.
Yeah,
talk about this, buddy.
We're playing cover two out here, myself and Fig, making sure that no man deeper when it comes to Lopez on this Astrodome.
No man deeper.
That's right. All right, but the reason why this came up is because I was perusing the Houston Chronicle. And they let us know that the last single stainless steel halo street sign is going to be removed from the gallery. It's the one where Richmond and Sage,
mm-hmm.
that one there is the last one. And it actually was already removed last weekend, replaced with an updated design. So like those kind of, those designs.
Those were iconic,
right?
Man.
Yeah, very much iconic. Mm-hmm. And that got me thinking.
Why are they removing them?
Well, I guess they had to remove the old solid stainless steel ones. And I guess for like a project of some sort that had to happen. And so I guess
maybe product construction or something.
Yeah, some level of construction, because that's obviously pretty pretty low hanging, that type of thing. I imagine. Right. I don't know exactly how all of that works. But that did get us thinking like, hey, those are iconic in this city. What are the other things that feel iconic and really define the city? So again,
landmark type thing.
Landmarks. That's right. 572-4610. And we got people already texting in. 972. I like what you're doing here. And this is a reminder that I have not visited yet. Timmy Chan's. I like what you're doing there.
Okay.
Not quite, I think, the way that we were going individual, but
yeah.
Timmy Chan's, real Houston. Lopez, I think there was one that jumped up for you.
Yeah, it's obvious, but I love it. In fact, we made a replica of it as a family and have it on our backyard fence. The Be Someone sign.
Yeah.
Yeah, we actually put one up in our own yard, but that to me is iconically Houston.
Absolutely.
That it's been removed here and there, and then they put it right back up, the graffiti artist or whatever. So that's one. What are some other ones, like iconic, like, okay, you see that, that's Houston.
Well, I'm going to be very self-centered, and this is going to shout out to the Southwest, particularly A-Leaf. I always think, for one, the first one that came to mind was Funplex. I see Funplex, and I'm like, hey, man, it's Houston. But also, the one that I thought of as well as we were kind of talking was, I definitely didn't write it down, did I? The Palace of the Golden Orbs, I think is what it's on A-Leaf.
Which
is the old, like, Taoist building that never actually got utilized and just kind of stood there.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a fan of Solange, ended up in one of her music videos. I think it was Cranes in the Sky. It very much, especially if you were from that part of the city, like that is iconic in some ways, very much feels huge.
The one I think about often, and this is one of the first places I wanted to visit when I came down here,
mm-hmm.
was the Screw Shop, man.
Yeah,
Screw Shop.
Yes,
yeah, Screw Tapes.
Yeah.
Screwed Up Records, man. I think that's just so iconic because I've seen it in music videos. There's a bunch of music videos I grew up watching, and whenever I think of Houston, they always stand outside of that Screw Shop.
Yeah.
And so many stories about the Screw Shop. Just walking in there, it just feel like it's 1996. That's something iconic.
Williams Tower. A few people have messaged.
That's even called it by a different name. Transco Tower.
Transco used to be Transco.
Yeah, everybody's brought that
is
up.
Is that just the office building or what?
Yeah.
What is?
Well, okay. As far as I know, but they also have the fountain. You know what? The fountain.
Yeah.
At Williams Tower too. A lot of people get engaged there and stuff.
With the fall.
Waterfall.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's another one. And this one I mentioned earlier, it's not technically Houston, but all back in the day when I would fly, 100 days a year or whatever, every time I saw the San Jacinto Monument, and I'm flying it, because on the flight path, you can look out the window and see it oftentimes, like, okay, there's the San Jacinto Monument. And it's not even that, impressive. It's just like, it's Houston. It feels like home,
Someone mentioned, 713 mentioned the President's Head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those ones. Okay.
I walk by those just about every day.
Shout out to 619. Yeah. He said Joel Osteen's mega church.
Yeah.
Formerly, I always think of it as the Compaq Center because that's where, that was my era, but obviously some people
would call that was kind of a thing. I was shocked to see that too because I grew up with my mom, she go to church and all that stuff. She used to always watch his program every Sunday or
whenever. She did?
Yeah, she did. So I knew who he was, and when I rolled past, I'm like, hey, that's his church. His church looked huge on TV.
The Summit is what I started calling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, how could I forget this one? Gallery Furniture, somebody texted in.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, it's been there for damn near 40 years, right? 35 absolutely. Years. And you see that sign, and all that. Yeah, that's a good landmark of Houston. It's a weird one in a sense, but it is a good one.
Gallery was mentioned. Let's see. Also mentioned. All right, you wild a little bit. From the 713, Frenchies. Do love me some Frenchies.
I don't know if it's... it's a landmark establishment.
Yes.
But it's not like you can see it when you draw a profile.
Yeah, it's like just something that you see and that really brings you to that place. 713 mentioned Battleship, Texas.
Yeah.
A lot of Be Someone. That one just felt like...
It's an obvious.
How did that just become Houston, though?
Because there was a graffiti artist probably close to 20, 25 years ago now that just put it up there and everybody's like... It's cool. It's a great message, right?
Yeah.
And then it just stayed up there, and then it got removed, and the guy put it back up. And then it got removed, and the guy put it back up, and now it's just...
Refused to lose. Yeah. Just kept being here.
Yeah, now it's just right there.
All right, some of y'all are doing bits on here, and that's hilarious. 832 Shipley's, as much as, again, that's kind of an establishment. Mm-hmm. I do, it does feel good to have one of those things where almost every corner you see it. Like, almost like Boston has Dunkin' Donuts or whatever.
Yeah.
Or Dunkin', I guess it's called. Just every time I see Shipley's, it reminds me where we're at. Let's see, some other ones. Someone said Sugar Hill Studios.
The Astrodome is a iconic.
You said that, not me. It is, though.
It is.
It is.
See, I said we were playing defense against this. It is iconic.
It is.
Or just like seeing that whole complex there on the South Loop.
Hell, Minute Maid is kind of like that. When you see all these two shots, or whatever, on TV, and they show downtown, you just see Minute Maid parked there with the roof usually open on an off day, and that's kind of a landmark that is Houston.
Someone said the statue of Sam Houston. What, up there in
Huntsville?
Huntsville?
Mm-hmm.
I guess if you're driving down, you get that feeling. You're like, oh, man, we're almost there. Alabama Theater mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
The Aztec Building downtown, 700 Louisiana. A lot of things coming in. I appreciate you guys tapping in. Is there anything else for you that, like...
This ain't really a landmark, but to me, I feel like you got to see one of these... At some point, if you in Houston, just a slab, man.
Yeah.
Just seeing a slab with the elbows, that's when you like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, this definitely is where I'm at.
Yeah.
River Oaks Theater. That's one. Now, some of these are not necessarily Houston-centric, but you know you're home when you see it, is the Whataburger W.
Whataburger's gotten I think that
they're all over.
They've expanded it out
in Florida now.
Yeah, they've expanded it out quite a bit.
Yeah,
it feels a little different. Somebody said Trailburger, hilarious. Space Center Houston, yeah, that's a great point. NASA mentioned quite a few times. George R. Brown, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that definitely gives me that feel. Seeing those red kind of pipes or what have you. Let's see, Cadillac Bar comes up.
Oh, the Fred Hartman Bridge. That's a good one.
That is a good one.
Yeah, you've seen it. I'm sure you drive down that way sometimes with the big arch, the big columns and all that. Suspension bridge is what I was talking about.
59 South. Okay, now we're just like...
59 South.
When I see the highway. Although, funny enough, 59 Southwest Freeway is the reason why I will never own a car again that does not have a sunroof or moonroof or whatever you like to call it, because I vividly, like, as a child, it was a formative memory.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting in the back of my mom's car, looking up out the sunroof, watching those lights go by. Like, that means something.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Why did they take the light? They took the lights off of those bridges, the ones right here.
Mm-hmm.
Because they used to light up different times.
Yeah, I
remember when Prince passed, all of it was purple.
Yeah.
And they used to do a little theme for it. I wonder why they took them off.
Yeah, that's a good question, because they were really cool.
I used to like driving.
Medical Center gets brought up, and then I guess Herman Park and all that kind of the general area, that feeling. And then off Houston Zoo, I think, is also a pretty good one. It's a really good zoo we got.
What about that gold dome church on 59, speaking of 59? You know which one? I forget what kind of church it is. It looks like the Golden Dome at Notre Dame.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of close to Fifth Ward a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't know what that was.
Someone on the YouTube said the lights died and no one wanted to pay to fix them. Not certain.
Oh, we mentioned this before the show.
Yeah, and I'm glad this one came in from the 281.
The Ferris wheel at the aquarium.
Funny enough, it's the first one that came to mind for me, but I was like, that's kind of dumb, isn't it? But downtown aquarium, Ferris wheel, for sure. Sharpstown Mall, yeah. Sharpstown. But really, I think for me, especially being someone like driving in from north down 45, is Greens Point?
Oh, yeah.
I guess. Technically, it's kind of closed up with the way the malls have
They
gone.
Are closing it, actually, right? But, didn't we talk about that the other
day? Greens Point, was that Guns Point?
Yeah.
Did they call it Guns Point?
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's also where my stepdad met, what do you mean? Goodness.
Your mom?
No. Okay. Someone from Swisher House, and I completely forgot.
Oh, okay.
that's the awful time for that. So, yeah, Greens Point Carnival. I just am always amazed that people pull up to them carnivals that pop up in a parking lot somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, someone put this together this afternoon, and we getting on this?
And you
want
to get on this ride?
I don't know. Hey,
and based on all the texts we're getting, and we're getting a lot of them.
Gold Dome is a mosque, yeah.
It's a mosque, okay. Mm-hmm. The Be Someone sign might be the most iconic.
It probably is.
We're getting
I think
lot of texts.
It's the one seat. Absolutely the one seat.
Yeah.
All right. Appreciate you.
Mm-hmm.
Always enjoy kind of loving on the city of Houston because it loves on us. There you go. In the loop, Sports Radio 610. And I did promise that this would happen. So caller number 10 right now. Call in 713-572-4610. You will win a $50 gift card. Where, Lopez?
To the Texas Star Grill Shop. Those are my friends over there, Texas Star Grill Shop. And you're going to be entered to win a grill.
At the end of the season, that's right.
I will help deliver, just not lift.
Okay.
And I'll throw in a case of OG sauce.
That's right. And so, yeah, we'll be doing this every Wednesday all season. But right now, caller number 10, 713-572-4610, has an opportunity to win $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. All right, man. Coming up next, we got week one in the books. I've mentioned that multiple times. Let's do a little NFL overreaction or reality when it comes to this NFL season. Let's do it next.